Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and today is April the 18th in the year 2021. What the hell happened to March? You know, the older you get, the faster time goes. Anyway, go to armchairsurvivalist.com and scroll down. You can see all the different ways to listen to me. You can also listen in the chat room. You can download my shows from the archive. You just go to armchairsurvivalist.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see the little white and black nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. Go there, click on it, and you'll see all the different shows you can download. And I want to let you know that there is a phone number you can call to listen to the show. It's not toll-free. So if it costs a dime, it's going to come out of your pocket. But here's the thing, just so you guys know, I know last week the line went down. This is a volunteer phone system. It's free, so pretty much I get what I pay for. And sometimes the guys forget to turn it on. So if it goes down, and you're out of luck. So there's all kinds of different ways to listen to me, including satellite. All right, so let me get some information out of the way for Survival Enterprises, my company. SurvivalEnterprises.com, SE1.us. The phone number is 310-295-9686. You can call us 7 days a week and order or chat. Anyway, we have ham radios. Now, these are not on the website yet. Ham radios, and these are handheld ham radios. We have two versions. One's $50, one's $75. They're the cheapest ham radios you're ever going to find. These are one of the vital things that survivalists should have, along with the shortwave radio. If you don't have at least two shortwave radios, you need to get one, or two, or three. I've got six of them. We have the Mountain House buckets in. These are called the Expeditions. These are basically 5 days of food, and they're sealed. This stuff, look, I know this stuff is going to last 50 years. There's no question about it. They're $150 delivered anywhere in the United States. If you're in the area, and we're in Hayden on North Government Way, if you come into the store, they're only $125. We charge $25 for shipping anywhere in the United States. Those of you who are listening to me on YouTube, stop it, because YouTube has been censoring me. I've been on YouTube now for 15 years. I have almost 300 of my shows on YouTube. First, they took off the show about Jews in Israel. Then they took off the show about Nation of Islam. And now they're taking off the shows if I play any of the videos or audios from professional doctors who basically have the proof that this COVID thing is nothing more than a conspiracy by the elite. So they're taking me off. They're censoring me, and I'm not going to be on YouTube too much longer. I'm probably going to get pissed off and delete everything off of there. But go to armchairsurvivalist.com, scroll down, and you can find out how to listen to me. You can go to YouTube, you can go to my website, and I have a link there that you can listen to the most recent show 24 hours a day. So that's, I just want to warn everybody about that. Now, I want to talk to you about something. It's called a VPN. A VPN is a virtual private network. And how it works, it literally is it's on the internet, because that's what you need. It hides you from existence. Nobody knows you're there. And I'm going to go, if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, that's where you're going to see it. You just go to armchairsurvivalist.com, any of the pages. I'm still working on it, by the way, getting the site back up. It was down. You will see on the right-hand side, there's a column I have there of different things that are for sale. And at the top of it, it says Best VPN Service, Peer VPN. And it works like this. Let's say you got a computer, laptop, desktop, I don't care what it is. This also works on tablets and cell phones. But let's say you got a computer. Well, you go to Peer VPN. You click on the link. You go there. There's all kinds of different deals they have. You can test it out for a week. You can test it out for a month. You can get the service for a year at a time. I bought Lifetime. And the reason is I tested many VPNs. This one was idiot-proof and as simple as you can believe. Now, what a VPN does is takes your signal, basically, and makes it look like you're somewhere else. You could be in Denmark. You could be in Germany. You could be in England. You could be in South America. You could be 3,000 miles in the United States away from where you actually are. So anybody monitoring you on the internet won't know who you are or where you're coming from. So it almost makes you invisible. It basically hides your footprint. It hides you. Unless they know that's you, there's no way that they could track you. A VPN gives you the security and the quietness that you need. Now, it's going to take about 20% of your speed down, because it's a little complicated what it does. But you can go to various websites that are blocked in your country. And I have people all over the world that listen to me. So if you're blocked in your country from coming to my website, you get Pure VPN, and boom, you're all of a sudden, you're instead of being in China, you're in Germany, or you're in Yugoslavia, or you're in England, or you're in America. And you turn it on, and you turn it off. It's like, I want to go watch a movie that I'm going to download from a certain location that I'm not supposed to be doing. In Germany, it's legal. In America, it's not. So I turn on VPN. It's just a little link. I click on it, and it takes a few seconds, and then it says, all right, you're protected now. And then I go do what I want to do, and when I'm done, I disconnect it. So word of warning, and to let you all know, I've already tested most of the VPNs out there, and this is the best one there is. So the links are on my website, armchairsurvivalist.com. I'll have them on the business website, survivalenterprises.com, eventually. But right now, it's Armchair Survivalist. So you want to be protected, you want to be hidden, and I'll tell you, people say, well, I'm not doing anything illegal, I don't need to hide anything. Let me tell you something. Someday the government might want you to be a target, and they're going to want to convince other people that you're doing something wrong. Trust me when I tell you this. They've already tried it with me many times, and they tried it with many other people many times. The government considers citizens criminals. Just they haven't caught us yet. So they will set us up, and with a VPN service, you're protected from all of that stuff. A few times I've talked about this Internet of Things, right? It's not just a computer anymore, a laptop, or a cell phone. It's now your stove and your refrigerator and a smart speaker and your doorbell. And there's so many things now that you buy that goes on the Internet. Well, we're going to be into the category of economy right now. And I saw this article, and I thought, geez, that's really bad. And I saw this item for sale at one time, a fish tank that has a thermometer in it. And the thermometer goes on the Internet. It goes through your router, and you can contact it via your cell phone with an app, and you can turn the temperature up or down or what have you, or see what it is in case you have to keep it within a 5 degree leeway. A casino got hacked through a fish tank thermometer. I'm astounded at that. The attackers used the thermometer to gain a foothold in the network. They did this because they wanted to find out who the high rollers were that come to the casino. And they downloaded that, all of that information, through the thermometer. This is the network of things, the Internet of Things. Every single thing you have, every single thing you have that connects to your router, your televisions, your radio, your routers, your tablets, your cell phones, everything has to be password protected one way or another. There are programs out there that look for these items that aren't password protected. I mean, it takes seconds, and they look at the whole state. So unless you want to be a target, either totally get off the grid or pay attention to what's going on. Now, I had a friend of mine come in here this week, and he was telling me how he's going to get a safety deposit box and put all a bunch of gold and silver that he has in cash in it. And I said, don't do it. Do not get a safety deposit box. Now, there were stories that I talked about last year and the year before of the feds going in and confiscating stuff from safety deposit boxes. Well, if it doesn't happen yesterday, nobody's going to believe it. You know, that's how humans are. If something doesn't happen and rub their face in it right now, they're not going to believe it. Let me give you some information here.
Stories written by Michael Finnegan, a staff writer at the LA Times. Retired flooring contractor was watching TV one night when he saw a news report about federal agents raiding a company in Beverly Hills. It's in a strip mall, and the company's called U.S. Private Vaults. That place lets customers rent safe deposit boxes anonymously. So think of it as your own little Swiss bank, but in Beverly Hills. So this man knew it because it's near his home. And for years, he's rented a small box there in which he keeps $60,000 in cash, gold, and silver, along with the certificate of title for his vehicle. He's 69 years old. He didn't want his name to be used because he's concerned about his safety. And he said he kept the stockpile of currency and precious metals since he got a little concerned during the 2008 financial crash. He said, you never know what's going to happen the way the world's going today. So, you know, he's got a little money set aside. Well, that money and the title to his truck and the gold and silver, boom, disappeared in the raid. Agents with the FBI and Drug Enforcement Administration had a warrant, and they pulled every single storage box in that building, and they seized the contents, each and every one. They had a blanket warrant that said, we can take every single box's contents. Not any particular box, every single one. It took 5 days to empty all the boxes and inventory what they took, and then they took it all to an undisclosed warehouse. Prosecutors now say that drugs, weapons, and currency that drew the attention of drug-sniffing dogs were discovered. And they're going to make the argument that if this money smells like drugs, according to our dog, we get to keep it because it's somehow connected to drug trafficking. They've done studies. They said that a surprisingly large amount of currency in circulation actually smells like drugs to dogs when asked. So to reclaim the property, if you are one of the people who had one of these boxes, you must notify the federal authorities, identify yourself, and prove that you were the one who had the box and that you're the rightful owners of the items. And so, of course, if there's cash and you go, that's mine, they're going to say, prove it. So this actually has an element of civil asset forfeiture in it because they're saying, look, the money smells like drugs. Prove to us that it doesn't.
So basically what I'm saying is, no, they can walk in, they can take safety deposit boxes anytime they want, warrants or not. It's gotten to that point. And as to your money smelling like drugs, well, some years back, I had a listener, shall we say, that worked for the Federal Reserve, Department of Treasury, where bills are printed. And he said that there is something that has happened to the paper that the bills are printed on. It goes through a cocaine wash. You follow that? It goes through a cocaine wash. So at any time in the future, the government can simply say, oh, it smells like drugs, so we're going to take it from you. And that's how asset forfeiture works. They steal things from you, and then you have to prove how you got that thing. And how are you, if you've been saving cash for 50 years or 40 years or even 10 years, how are you going to prove where you got it from? How are you going to prove it's yours? This is the scam, and this is the evil that has been visited on the citizens of the United States by our governments. And that's just part of it. That's just part of the financial crimes that are happening. There are other things that are occurring now. In 2008, the Federal Reserve stopped reporting on certain aspects of the money supply. Now, we're talking about inflation here. The more cash is in circulation, the less your dollar's worth. You can see that right now. Look at gas. Look at tomatoes. Look at potatoes. Look at beef. Look at everything. Here's a gentleman here that's going to explain what's happening right now. I mean, this started about 10 days ago.
Okay, this is a bit technical, but I'm going to make it seem simple. Because guess what? The central banks, the government, they tried to make this seem very complicated when at the end of the day, it is very, very simple and they don't want you to know this. What just happened this morning is an absolute tragedy and a crime against the people. The Federal Reserve has officially discontinued their series of recording the increase in the money supply. More specifically, the increase in the money supply for the M1 money supply and the M2 money supply. And if you're like, well, what's M1 money, what's M2 money? Don't worry, I'm going to make this very, very simple for you and explain exactly what it is. But you have to know why this is so important and why hyperinflation is going to come while your money is about to become worth less and less. That money that you worked your butt off all year to earn, well, now it's just going to be halved in value. And this is exactly why they stopped recording the M1 money supply. In April, the M1 money supply has gone from 4.5 trillion vertical, increased by about 450% to $18.1 trillion. They just increased the money supply by almost 500%. And they're saying no inflation is coming, but that's a complete lie. The central banks are lying to our face. There's a financial crisis happening behind the scenes that they don't want you to know about. They're devaluing your money into the ground. It's actually theft. It's actually robbed. They're counterfeiting your money and making your money worthless. And you know why? Because in 2008, when they turned the money printers on, they started something that they couldn't stop. Now that the money printer tap is turned on full blast, there's no key to turn it off. And guess what? I think why they stopped recording this. Because they're going to have to reset the money printer to start printing in the quadrillions and hyperinflation is going to come, but they don't want you to know about it. But quickly, for those who don't know, I'm going to tell you what the M1 and M2 money supply is. So to put it simple, the M1 money supply is all the hard cash, the cash notes, the coins, the checking accounts, and other checkable deposits. So the M1 money supply pretty much is just real hard cash and cash that can be easily liquidated, pretty much money that you can take out of the ATM and money you can spend straight away. And that increase in money supply, you know, all the notes, the coins, your checking deposits, that increased by 450% in 1 year. And have a listen to this. Up until March 2006, the Federal Reserve published reports on three aggregates, the M1, M2, and M3. But guess what happened since 2006, the last financial crisis? The Federal Reserve no longer publishes M3 data. And guess what? Trillions of dollars went missing in the last financial crisis, and they still haven't been held account to where it went. It says here, the M1 money supply is composed of the Federal Reserve notes, otherwise known as bills or paper money and coins, that are in circulation outside of the Federal Reserve banks and vaults of depository institutions. So that pretty much just explains what I said. It's just really all the hard money and checking accounts. And wherever you're watching around the world, in Australia, Canada, the UK, you have to listen to this, because the exact same thing is happening around the world, and the Federal Reserve is ahead of the snake, and when they move, other central banks follow. And throughout economic history, the increase in money supply was actually how they used to calculate GDP, inflation, and price levels. Milton Friedman argued in support of theory that money supply is intertwined with all of these variables. So what central banks are trying to say now is, they're trying to say is, we can print trillions and trillions of dollars, we can increase our money supply by 500%, and it's not going to have an effect on inflation, it's not going to debase your currency, and we're not going to have to lift interest rates. That's a complete lie, and that goes against everything in economics history 101. But they have to come out there in the public and say that everything's great, because if they say anything, they even make a whisper that something bad is going to happen, the stock market would start selling off immediately, people would do a run on the banks, and the financial system will come collapsing down. So what they're going to do is, they're going to pull the rug from underneath you. They're going to try to cover your eyes. They don't want you to know what's really happening, and then they're going to keep you uninformed, just like what they did in 2008. The exact same thing is happening again. And also, like I said, they're discontinuing the M2 money supply. In February, the M2 money supply had gone from 15 trillion almost up to 20 trillion. That's an increase of around 30%. But again, they're saying, nah, no inflation, we're just going to print all this money, no inflation. And for those that aren't aware what M2 money supply is, because again, M1 is just all the physical hard cash, the checking deposits, just very liquid money that you can take out and spend very easily. M2 is all M1 money, so all hard money, but it also includes term deposits, aka savings accounts, money market securities, mutual funds, and other assets, pretty much any assets that you could liquidate pretty much immediately. And this is according to Investopedia of exactly what M2 predicts. It says here, M2 is closely watched as an indicator of money supply and future inflation. It says it right here in black and white. It's an indicator of future inflation. And guess what they're doing? They're hiding it. And as a target of central bank monetary policy. I wish the general population knew how dangerous central banks were. And this is why the public didn't want to create a central bank in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was created. So they tried to say it was created as a public institution, but the Federal Reserve is not public, it's not federal, it's a private bank. And they're looting the general population while they come up and buy up all the assets in existence. The Federal Reserve now owns a third of the mortgage-backed securities market. They're buying all the government treasuries. They're buying all the junk corporate debt. They bailed out the stock market. They pretty much, as closely as they could, bought stocks during the last financial crisis. And you may think this is great, but what this has created is the rich, the billionaires, the top 1%, have never been richer in history than today. The wealth gap has never been bigger in history than today. And the middle class is now destroyed. Like I've been harping on about, this is how they measure inflation. But now they're lying to your face and saying this doesn't cause inflation, when the literal definition of M2 money supply increasing says it increases inflation.
I've said it many times where the American population is nothing more than bags of blood that the elites suck off of. And this is how they do it. We fund them. They just play with us. We are acceptable collateral damage to their games. And those of you in New York City, those of you who haven't left yet, they're going to, because of all of the things that the governor is doing there to bribe people to live there, and the taxes he's raising, your taxes are going up to about 52%. Now, those of you who are rich, quote unquote, and they don't define the word rich. So that could be somebody who actually brings home more than $50,000 a year or $100,000. I don't know. They'll figure it out. And then maybe you people will get out of that communist country as quickly as possible. All right. Now we're going to get into the health department, food and health. 246 vaccinated Michigan residents were diagnosed with COVID. Did you get that? 246. Actually, it's 250-something now. Vaccinated Michigan residents ended up coming down with COVID. Three of them have died so far. Why somebody gets the shot? It's because they're sheeple. It's because they've been propagandized to. It's because they watch CNN. It's because they're stupid. I don't know how. I'm not putting it any other way. They don't. This is not a vaccination. This is a genetic manipulation. You go on to CDC's website, and you go on to Moderna's website, you go on to Johnson & Johnson's, you go on to Pfizer, you go on to all of them. All of them will say exactly what this is. This is an mRNA modification. You can still get sick. You can still die. You can still pass the disease. They're not going to protect you. It says this. It says it's not going to protect you. And yet people are stupid enough to go get the shot. Almost 6,000 Americans who are quote-unquote fully vaccinated have come down with COVID-19. About 75 of them have died so far. Where do I get that number? Off the CDC's website. They don't hide this stuff. This is the thing. This is not something hidden. All of the crimes and the evil things that these elites perform on the citizens, they don't hide it. They put it right there where you can look at it. If you're smart enough or willing enough to go and actually look at the damn thing. The number of vaccine injuries in the United States, if you go out of the United States, it'll be overwhelmed. The number of injuries reported to the CDC is over 50,000 in the United States. Now, that's not the deaths, because a death isn't an injury. Oh, you know those cheap blue masks that everybody's getting and wearing and have been for a year? Well, I met someone last week who is part of a class action lawsuit suing certain businesses and manufacturers because you are breathing in carcinogens. Where do you think those masks are made? All of them are made in China. And what have I said about China? Everything coming out of China is toxic in one way or another. Clothes, perfume, toiletries, toys, they all have contaminants on them or in them. Now, tools and clothes, they're fine. You can wash them. You can clean them. But these masks, you're not going to wash them. So instead, you're breathing in allergens. You're breathing in synthetic microfibers. The masks are poisoning you. There are thousands of stories all over of people who are ended up out of the blue with allergies. And it's because of these masks. Or what about the teenagers who are getting massive amounts of acne on their face under the mask? It's because you're breathing CO2. So there's a lot of people out here who just flat aren't going to get the vaccination. And good old Klaus Schwab, I've talked about him before. He said that people who are unvaccinated are a threat to humanity. So there are a lot of these communists and elites pushing for a national vaccine mandate. Now, there are states out here, like Idaho is one of them, who said there will not be a vaccination mandate. We will not follow one. Florida is the same way. I'm not sure about Texas. You can't be sure about Texas anymore. There's too damn many communists there. And by the way, any of you who are foolish enough to get your shot, let me give you some facts. And I know these from firsthand. I'm seeing it. Our customers are telling me this. If you get a shot and you die, your insurance is not going to pay because you were part of an experiment. This is an experiment. This is not a vaccination. This is an emergency use authorization genetic manipulation. Your insurance companies know this. So if you die because of it, you're out of luck. And if you get sick because of it, you're out of luck too. Because your health insurance will not cover anything that is caused by any of these shots. Because they're not vaccinations. They're emergency use authorizations. And insurance does not have to cover EUAs. And this is what's going to happen. Next year, you're going to see the number of COVID deaths, quote unquote, triple. And here's how they're doing it. Federal government passed a bill. It's called the Funeral Aid Program that allows you to have a death certificate modified or altered to show that that person died of COVID. And that way, the Funeral Aid Program will pay for the funeral for that person. So if Uncle Fred, 6 months ago, died of a heart attack, you can go back and say, but it was complicated because he had COVID. And then, boom, that $2,000 you spent, they'll give you a check back for it. Now you see what's going to happen? There are so many people going to say, wow, free money, and they're going to go for it. Oh, and Idaho here also, the governor said, I will never allow vaccination passports to be done. Not going to have it. Not going to have it in any way, shape, or form. It's a violation of privacy. Do you know these so-called vaccination passports were in the planning 2 years before COVID even started? This whole thing was a pandemic. Literally, that's all it is. The whole thing was planned a long time ago. And speaking of this vaccine passport, Chile. Chile is an, I don't mean, you know, let's have some Chile. I mean, the country, Chile. Chile. They were a communist nation for a while. And then they cured that by killing all the commies and putting new elites in charge of Chile. Now, it's pretty much reverted back to the old days where you do what you're told or you'll be killed or controlled one way or the other. So a woman comes down. She's 100 years old. She comes down out of the mountain. She comes down once a month and she wants to go shopping. She's 100 years old. She goes to go into a supermarket she always goes into, and the Chilean government has police outside and military. And they stop her and say, you can't come in. You don't have a vaccination passport. And she looks at him like, a what? You don't have a vax passport. You can't prove you've been vaccinated, so you can't shop anymore. So how am I supposed to eat? We don't care. Go outside, sit down, and die. Because you can't come in without a passport. This whole thing was planned, and it was planned by the elites. And we all know this. We've been hearing this for so long now.
I'm the developer of linguistic genomics, which was the first platform on which you could determine the intent of communication rather than the literal artifact of communication. But we've also used that technology for a number of other applications in defense and intelligence and finance. And most notably, in the early 2000s, my company was responsible for bringing down what was at the time one of the largest tax frauds in U.S. history. We maintained a series of inquiries into every individual, every organization, and every company that is involved in anything that either blurs the line of biological and chemical weapons or crosses that line in any of 168 countries. In 1999, there were 1 million patents digitized by IBM, and those 1 million patents were the first time human innovation had been put into an electronic digital searchable format. We took that information and we did a very simple exercise using our linguistic genomics technology, where I made the horrific assessment that approximately 1/3 of all patents filed in the United States were functional forgeries, meaning that while they had linguistic variations, they actually covered the same subject matter. In 1999, patents on coronavirus started showing up, and thus began the rabbit trail.
March 2003, panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003, they sought to patent it, and they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it. We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
The World Health Organization has officially named the new novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The coronavirus crisis.
The World Health Organization has declared
an international public health emergency.
While we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who is famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, It was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. In either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it, and by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
Developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going. But when the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do the stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No. You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say, China did it. China could say, the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is, both of them are almost telling the truth.
This whole thing could be considered the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on the human race. Yep, it could be. There's other things that are as heinous, if not worse. Here's something that's heinous. Planned Parenthood. They're part of the eugenics cycle in the United States, in fact, in the world. The idea is to kill off as many as they can. Well, they don't want to just kill them off. They want to transform them. And what I mean by transform them, Planned Parenthood is now going to get into the business of chemically castrating boys and neutering male children. Because of all this, I'm not a girl. I decided I'm a boy, and I'm not a boy. I decided I want to be a little girl. And my mommy said I could be a girl. And even though I'm only 5 years old, my mommy said I could do it. So Planned Parenthood now is going to start offering hormone treatment, synthetic hormones, also the gender changeover operations for children. This is Planned Parenthood. You know, there was a point when Planned Parenthood was afraid to open their doors. And then the communists got in control of the United States. And now we're afraid to they won't close the doors. Something else that's disgusting and just fully expected from this administration. We have a CDC director, Rochelle Walensky. She is a communist female. She hates whites. She's white. She hates whites. She hates males. She came out and said that racism is a public health threat. The CDC, what the hell does the Center for Disease Control have to do with racism or their evaluation of racism? They're going to lead the country in accelerating their work to address racism as a fundamental driver of racial and ethnic health inequities in the United States. She unveiled a new website, Racism and Health, that'll serve as a hub for the agency's efforts and a catalyst for greater education and dialogue around these critical issues. And you don't think whites are under attack by anyone? Big time they're under attack. All right, now we're going to the category of food. You've heard many times on this show, and many other ones where they're talking about getting rid of farming, getting rid of meat. Now a group of scientists are coming out and saying, we can't get rid of meat or livestock. So what we need to do is propose a massive tax on it to help avert future pandemics. See, eating meat drives a pandemic risk. So now that they have this pandemic word, that is going to be pushed on everything you can believe. The communists and the elites worldwide are going to be using that word to control us and to offer more solutions to keeping us safe from the pandemic. Now, I got a clip here from the Ice Age Farmer where he's talking about kind of like the same thing. I'm confused on it because it makes the Taiwanese government look like they're retarded people who ought to be working the morning shift at McDonald's.
Taiwan has decided to shut down their farms in order to keep the iPhones flowing. They're redirecting irrigation water from the rice farms and traditional farming and ranching over towards their semiconductor industry, which creates the chips needed for iPhones and MacBooks and many cars, right? You've read about the supply chains collapsing and auto manufacturers having to shut down their manufacturing because they can't get the integrated circuits. They can't get the chips needed for those cars to drive. And so there's a lot of pressure from around the world right now on Taiwan, who manufactures 90% of those semiconductors, to get that pipeline back up and running. So much pressure, in fact, that Taiwan, as I said, is now shutting down their farms, taking that water over to make the chips. As we read here, the Taiwanese public appears to have decided that rice farming is less important for the island and indeed for the entire world than semiconductors. The heavens above, or economic forces, indeed technocrats, are telling the farmers it's time to find other work. And thus, yet another country falls prey to this global agenda to shut down food production, to make countries unable to feed themselves as we enter this new normal. And welcome to it. And from the New York Times, we read, drought in Taiwan pits chip makers against farmers. The island is going to great lengths to keep water flowing to the all-important semiconductor industry, including shutting off irrigation to tens of thousands of acres of rice fields. Gripped by drought and scrambling to save water for homes and factories, Taiwan has shut off irrigation across tens of thousands of acres of farmland. Although authorities are compensating growers for the lost income, some farmers are worried that the thwarted harvest will drive customers to seek out other suppliers, which means we're going to lose years of future business here. This is not something you can just turn off and on like this. The government is using money to seal farmers' mouths shut, just like we're hearing from the 30 by 30 plan here in the United States. Some background: more than 90% of the world's manufacturing capacity for the most advanced chips is in Taiwan. It's run by a company called TSMC, which has deals with Apple and Intel and many other big names. The government has tried various measures, including cloud seeding, geoengineering. In recent months, the government has flown planes and burned chemicals to seed the clouds above reservoirs. It's also built a desalination plant and a pipeline. It's ordered industries to cut use, and get this, it's also reduced the water pressure in some municipalities and even started shutting down water supplies for 2 days each week. That's right, we need our iPhones so bad. We got to get these things, these vaccine passports, out to all 7 billion people. You don't really need to shower on Tuesday and Thursday. You don't need to wash your dishes. You just wait till tomorrow. We got to make some iPhones. But the most sweeping measure has been the halt on irrigation, which affects 183,000 acres of farmland. That's about 20% of Taiwan's irrigated land. The government has justified this by saying, well, we're already in a drought, so we're probably going to have a pretty bad crop anyway, so let's just forget about it. Just shut down the farms completely, and let's divert this scarce water to our factories instead, having bad production out of both sides of the equation. In farming towns near Tainan, many growers say they were content to just be living off the government's dime, at least for now. We clear the weeds and drink tea and go on long bike rides. Yeah, farms are shut down. I'm not just saying that. It's not rhetoric. These guys are idle. Their fields are fallow. The Taiwanese public appears to have decided that rice farming is just less important. Fertilizer is more expensive. Pesticide is more expensive. Being a farmer is truly the worst. That is by design. This is an attack on farming and ranching. Now, if this were happening in a vacuum, as these farms dried up and Taiwan's ability to feed itself was lost, you might just say, well, this is just one case where it's a tough call, but we really need our iPhones. The problem is that this is a systematic attack around the world on farming and ranching. We've already discussed at length the 30 by 30 plan here in the United States, which, in the words of one Kansas farmer,
what's this going to do to the family farms and ranches that have been around for centuries? It's going to destroy them.
Yes, designed to shut down farming and ranching. It's happening around the world. In fact, the very same thing is happening here in California. We've had a very dry winter, two of them in a row, and so the federal government has decided to cut to zero allocations for farmers in the Central Valley. There's no water for you. You don't get to water your crops. No water will be delivered until we figure out how much we can deliver. That affects 750,000 acres of crops. And you can read from farmers who say, look, it's just going to go. I'm going to be forced to give up on 105 acres of asparagus. I'm not even going to bother planting my 200 acres of melons. This is an attack on the food supply, and it's happening around the world. We also saw in Australia, where water has been terribly mismanaged, and a lot of it was sold off to China, that the rice production collapsed. Usually they get 600 to 800 thousand tons of rice per year, and they only eked out 54,000 tons. It's like 6% of what they're supposed to get. We've had two of the smallest rice crops in Australia in the last 70 years. We're only growing 5% of what we would normally grow, so our stocks are very low. We're not trying to fearmonger, and neither am I, ladies and gentlemen, but this is really happening. But I think it might be a bit of a wake-up call to see what happens when our supply chains are tested, and that is happening now. In fact, Vietnam, the world's number three exporter of rice, right? Again, I'm talking about the bread baskets that usually produce a surplus and then feed the rest of the world. Vietnam, number three on that list for rice, has been forced, in order to control domestic food prices, to go buy rice from India. This is the second time we've seen this happen in the last 12 months. Turning to grains, we now read from worldgrain.com, grain export restrictions I've been covering for the last year, that as supplies have been dwindling around the world, and this is why it's dumb for Taiwan to say, we're going to focus on semiconductors and we'll let the rest of the world feed us. Because as supplies have dwindled, countries start taking steps to protect their own food supply. They impose extra tariffs, export limitations, they stop giving people their food. And so now from worldgrain.com, we see that this is actually having a profound effect on other countries. Naturally, grain export restrictions are taking a toll. Grain export restrictions embarked on by Russia and Kazakhstan, but I will add also by Brazil and Argentina and Ukraine, there are many others, during the first few months of the COVID pandemic, brought a hiatus upon the food supply chain in many countries in 2020. The Kazakh export restrictions had the potential to doom the country's neighbors to starvation. These are not words that one throws around lightly. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a collapse in global food production, a shutdown in multinational trade, and a systematic attack on farming and ranching around the world. New export restrictions, more and more every day, are continuing to drive prices up. Russia is now considering another wheat export tax to try and keep their exports suppressed. The introduced export tax is likely to curb these figures. You can say that it's working. And all this underscores that as food prices continue to explode through the roof, as Rabobank said, at biblical levels of supply shortages for food, that the countries should be doing everything they can to bolster production, not thinking up new reasons to shut it down, not deciding that semiconductors should be the preferred industry, not imposing new taxes and regulatory structures on people that farm wild rabbits. Here's a piece out of New Zealand, where there are people that make a living just by going out and trapping wild rabbits and then selling them to restaurants, but they keep raising the amount of paperwork and the cost for registering and for getting meat inspected, and so they're being gradually driven out of business. It's not one isolated case, it's a theme. Here in the U.S. again, groups are petitioning the EPA to regulate dairy and hog farming emissions because we want to shut down animal agriculture. And we also just saw the FDA classify a recent outbreak of E. coli as something that should have been a reasonably foreseeable hazard due to the fact that you were growing your leafy greens outside and there was a cattle field nearby. So you were outside and there were animals nearby, and this is dirty and dangerous. This finding on April 6th, just now, from the FDA, basically codifies what I've been saying, which is that they are moving the goalposts. They are shifting traditional farming and ranching. If you can't just shut it off by turning off the water, they're now classifying it as dirty and dangerous, right? We also saw Australia classify manure as a highly toxic industrial byproduct. It's incredible how rapidly this is all being deployed. Indeed, they told us we would have vertigo during this decade of action leading up to 2030.
Resetting the food system from farm to fork. This is the vertigo, the dizzying feeling of counting up together to 2030.
But this finding from the FDA sets the stage for that. You can't grow food outside anymore because doing so is a reasonably foreseeable hazard. Now you have to be moving into the indoor vertical farms and the lab-grown meat. And all of that, of course, jives with the recent edict that Biden put out that says the USDA needs to be driving towards a, you guessed it, a net zero carbon emissions future. He's requested that they develop a plan. It's due in the next couple months here to talk about how agriculture could be moved to a net zero carbon future, the absolute zero, absolute slavery, complete shutdown of economic and human activity, and total control over everything.
All right, now we're going into the category of the liberal psychosis. You remember there's this guy that took a bunch of undercover videos of Planned Parenthood where the head of Planned Parenthood was saying, yeah, we like baby body parts, we sell them wholesale, you can get quantity discounts. Well, he was sued by Planned Parenthood, and the communist judge banned him from releasing any more of those videos. Right now, what's happening worldwide is the cessation of sanity, and the idea that if they see no evil, hear no evil, and you're not allowed to say no evil, then there is no evil, is something that's really been going on. They're trying to shut everybody down. That's what happened. That's what's happening to me on YouTube right now, which I really don't care. You know how all these big tech companies are putting artificial intelligence, in other words, programs, computer programs, in charge of certain areas? Well, Amazon created this massive AI, this massive, very, very large and expansive artificial intelligence, and its job was to be used as a recruiting tool. Would find people for technical jobs at Amazon. Well, this AI wouldn't hire any females because all the females that it interviewed or that it read the data on were too emotional. So the men weren't. So Amazon had to quickly dump it. Speaking of dumping it, the New York Times, we've all known this, and it's almost a joke, that New York Times is communist-controlled, communist-Chinese-controlled. Well, one of their head journalists, this is the guy in charge of cinematography, he had to erase his complete Twitter. He had 20,000 plus tweets on his platform. And it turned out, well, he was caught saying, yes, I work for communist China. He admitted it. Now, by the way, all of these things that I kind of come up with here, I'm not coming up with. I've researched them and I got the data on it. And you go to armchairsurvivalist.com and on the left-hand side, you'll see show notes. Click on that. And then you'll find the data of whatever show you want to check on. You click on that, and it'll take you to the individual page where all of these links are right there in front of you so that you can see them for yourself, and you can get more in-depth on them. I don't have time to get in-depth on all of these things, so that's for you if you want to do on it. Let's see. In New York City, they decided to create a panel to reform the New York Police Department. You got that. Okay, so they're going to reform the New York Police Department, and it should be reformed. It's not as up to date as it should be. So they decided to put this guy on there, Richard Rivera. He was convicted of murdering an off-duty officer named Robert Walsh, execution style, in 1981. Why he's not been put to death, I don't know. But he's going to sit on a panel now for Ithaca and Tompkins County in New York as part of an advisory group known as the Reimagining Public Safety Collaborative. This guy murdered a cop. And now he's going to be telling cops what they need to do. Portland, Oregon. The psychotic communists that are running that place. Let's see. Fights, murders up 1,000% in the past year. So they come up with a great solution. See, they're defunded the police department. So a lot of the police just leave, saying the hell with this and leaving. They're not allowed to do anything. They're not allowed to fight. The police are not allowed to do their job. They're nothing more than glorified security guards who aren't allowed to do anything. Because they'll get sued if they do. So what they're doing, what they're going to do is bring in unarmed park rangers. Well, they're going to give them pepper spray. No batons, no tasers, no guns. Pepper spray. Little 2-ounce bottle, you put on your side. That's really sane. I'm I wish I lived in Portland, don't you? It just makes me cringe. Now we're going to get under the liberal psychosis is Democrat perversion. So here's this convicted murderer. This is a male, theoretically. This is a convicted murderer. He killed two babies. So he's getting a federally funded sex change where he is going to pretend it's a she. And then immediately get transferred to a woman's prison. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? 255 California prison inmates have requested transfer to women's prison since January. And that's, now here's the thing. They identify as a female. It doesn't mean they are. It means they identify. I identify as a snowflake. I identify as a wrench. I identify as a duck. And I identify as a female. So now, per law, they have to transfer them to a woman's prison. Dimwit's FDA has decided because of the COVID that people, girls, women, can now get the abortion pills through the mail. You no longer have to go to the doctor. Abortion pills. Get them through the mail. Argentina is a Catholic country. And this was really sad. But there was a bunch of radical feminists there that, they're in their 20s, that wanted abortions, legal abortions. So they caused enough problems that the government said, okay, fine, you can get legal abortions. So the woman, the head of this group, these radical psychotics, 23-year-old, purposely got herself pregnant so she could have the first legal abortion. She goes in and bleeds to death. The first legal abortion in Argentina, and she dies. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that the main goal of the communists in the United States was to basically castrate and neuter the males. And they not only do that, but they screw up the females to where they don't even know what the hell they are. Well, this gentleman here has a little clip on the whole concept of that.
The United States of America has announced it is in transition and from now on will identify as a teenage girl. The nation's pronouns will be any random series of recently invented slang terms and an unbearably high-pitched shrieking noise. The now female adolescent nation made the transition announcement during an interview in Vanity Fair. Not the magazine, but the allegorical location built by Beelzebub in Pilgrim's Progress, where everything that can satisfy human delight and desire is up for sale. Which, come to think of it, may also describe the magazine. In announcing her transition, the United States said she had spent too long trying to fulfill cisgender male stereotypes through such actions as crossing perilous seas to escape religious persecution, defying the elements to settle a savage land, defeating the Nazis in World War II, and facing down the communists in the Cold War. From now on, the U.S. said she would express her authentic teenage girl inner self by stomping around the room shouting that's so unfair about every little thing and insisting her completely irrational hormonal babblings should be taken seriously as if they bore some relation to reality. In her new identity as a teenage girl, the United States said she would engage in such gender-appropriate activities as gathering in mean, gossipy cliques that exclude anyone who disagrees with them, throwing hysterical tantrums whenever her latest whims aren't met at whatever fantastic cost she demands, and, of course, developing crushes on dishonest sleazeballs like Andrew Cuomo and Ibram Kendi while totally destroying the lives of perfectly nice people who tweeted something silly when they were 12 years old. Where the old male United States languished in such stereotypical patriarchal behaviors as spreading liberty and inventing everything from the light bulb to the personal computer, the new teenage girl America will finally be free to play dress-up and buy anything she wants on credit because she just absolutely has to have it or she'll totally die. The United States said that while trapped inside a male body, she had been forced to be a nation of laws and not of men, which she described as just so utterly basic. But now she felt free to govern by simply saying things like, "Aw, look at the poor illegal immigrant," afterward posting a picture of how compassionate she is on Instagram while the illegal takes an American's job. The United States did admit that in her new identity as a teenage girl, she had once gotten incredibly drunk and woken up in bed with Iran, but she said that was so totally not her fault. Then she made a sexy fish face and accidentally set fire to the Constitution, which also so totally wasn't her fault.
I was at a yard sale yesterday, and you can always tell. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out Democrat from Republican. As I walk up, half of the people that were running the sale had masks on. Right away, I knew those are Democrats. So I'm looking through, and there's a lot of neat stuff in there. This is the beginning of yard sale season, so you never know what you're going to find. So I'm digging through this, and I'm listening to the people talk, and the one woman with the cheeseburger hat on with a price tag of $10 on it was talking to another woman. And this other woman was wanting to buy about $70 to $80 worth of stuff, and she'd asked the cheeseburger lady, can I write a check for all this? And the cheeseburger lady goes, well, I trust you. I don't know you, but I think 99% of all people are honest. And a bunch of guys in there laughed, and I said, well, yes, I bet 99% of people are honest, and the rest are Democrats. And the guys laughed. Well, those two women didn't laugh, apparently, and I wasn't funny. I picked up a book there. Oh, and by the way, she was running this yard sale because her sister had just died and wanted to get rid of all of her sister's stuff. So I picked up this book, Atlas Shrugged. And I asked the woman, I said, was this your sister's book? She goes, yeah. Yes, it was. I said, she was a Republican, wasn't she? And she looked at me quizzically and she goes, oh, yes, she was. How do you know? And I said, because this book's been read and no Democrat would ever read Atlas Shrugged. And I gave her the quarter for it, and I walked out with it. I just had to throw that in there.
Full screen, and I'll wink at you. I'm your puppet. I'll do funny things if you want me to. I'm your puppet.
Welcome to the category I lovingly refer to as Dimwit the Puppet. He is the gentleman that is now occupying shady rest in Washington, D.C. So he promised this to all the communists that voted him in, that he was going to pack the Supreme Court. So that's exactly what they're doing. The ACP, the American Communist Party, which is the Democrat Party now, has decided that they're going to put four more judges on the Supreme Court. So they're going to pass a bill that gives Dimwit, or his handlers at least, the ability to put four more in there. When are we going to have a revolution? I don't know, because nobody seems to be willing to stand up and fight for America. We'll see what happens with this one. So Dimwit now comes up with a $2 trillion infrastructure bill. You know how they use these words. The communists always take a word and pervert it to mean something else. So when they say infrastructure, what they mean is, let's have a whole billion here and a billion there for equity and equality and the green stuff and COVID this and COVID that. What the hell does it have to do with infrastructure, doesn't it? Less than 50% of this bill goes to repairing any of the infrastructure in the United States. And Dimwit has been told, see, he does nothing. It's just, he's being told what to do. He's putting a guy in charge of the ATF, okay? The guy that's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. The ATF was created in the 30s by the federal government to control firearms in the United States and to make taxes. But their job since the 60s was the eradication of firearms in the hands of citizens. The guy that Biden wants to put in charge of the ATF was involved in Waco massacre, Oklahoma City bombing, Ruby Ridge, and Fast and Furious. This guy he hates America. He hates white people. He is white. And he hates guns. He is the perfect Democrat to put in there. Now, because the majority of white people are not going to be taking this vaccination, Dimwit's administration is working with NASCAR and Country Music TV to push vaccines to white conservatives. So be attentive. Watch the propaganda. You know, we've all been listening to how bad Trump was with the criminal aliens coming over the border and how he packed these cages full of children. Do you know, Dimwit has detained over 18,000 minors. A minor is anybody under the age of 26 to the Democrats. Trump's peak number was 2,600. But Dimwit says, I have bipartisan support for everything I do. So he's redefining this word bipartisan. Now, let me tell you how he's doing it. Usually when you hear somebody say bipartisan support, they're talking about the politicians in Congress or the politicians in the Senate and Republicans and Democrats working together. No. That's not what bipartisan means anymore. Now bipartisan means the Democrats in Congress and some Republicans voters out there in the world. See, that's bipartisan. Don't you understand? Our resident comedian has some advice for the people that are running, dimwit.
This message is for the swell people running President Biden. Hi, guys. You're doing a phenomenal job. I mean, things are looking so good. I mean, he's dominating. So great. Which means you guys are doing a great job. Now, after watching his performance at the recent press conference, I'd give him an A. Great job. So solid. But I wanted to sit down with you here today and watch the game film and offer you some advice on how he could get to an A+ next time. So let's see if we can find any areas with room for improvement. In this clip, you'll see the president openly and honestly expressing his own thoughts from note cards.
We have somewhere, I asked the staff to write it down for me, and they did, not for this, but for a longer discussion. We have somewhere... In terms of infrastructure, we rank 13th globally in infrastructure.
Ooh. Sometimes when someone's just reading off note cards, it makes people wonder, why does he have to read off note cards? But before we get to some advice on this, let's take a look at a clip of Joe answering a question on North Korea.
Let me say that, number one, UN Resolution 1718 was violated by those particular missiles that were tested. Number one, we're consulting with our allies and partners, and there will be responses if they choose to escalate. We will respond accordingly. But I'm also prepared for some form of diplomacy, but it has to be conditioned upon the end result of denuclearization.
So guys, Joe read the entire answer from a note card. And powerfully so, I might add. But next time, you might want to have Joe not read off note cards for a couple reasons. One, having the exact answer to a reporter's question pre-written kind of makes it look like you knew the questions beforehand. So it kind of looked as if you pre-wrote questions, gave them to friendly reporters to ask Biden, and then Biden read pre-written answers from note cards. And that kind of makes the whole press conference look more like a theatrical performance than an actual press conference. People don't like deception. Ooh, and it also makes people aware that he's not speaking his own thoughts from his own mind. The other thing is, when you have the president reading off note cards that were magically pre-written in the past to answer present moment questions, he's looking down the whole time. In normal human communication, looking at someone, possibly even in the eyes, creates a connection, a note for improvement. Instead of using note cards and cheat sheets to try to convey the image of a functioning mind, just use a teleprompter. Now you might be saying, teleprompter? Those are for pre-written speeches, not press conferences with unknown questions and off-the-cuff answers. Why don't we just call this what it is and use a teleprompter? That's my professional advice. Oh, and that brings up another area with room for improvement. At a press conference, when the president's looking out at a sea of reporters calling on someone to ask a question, they usually don't look like this.
Now, I'll be happy to take your questions. Zeke, Associated Press. Justin Sink, Bloomberg. Okay. Where am I here? Let me see. Caitlin? Okay, hang on a second here. Kristen, Nancy, CBS? Ken? Kristen? Let me get here. Okay. Cecilia, Vega? Okay, hang on. Sorry. Oh. Sing Ming, Ms. Kim. Okay, how about Yamiche?
That kind of makes it look like he's looking for who you instructed him to call on in his notebook. So I'd probably get rid of the notebook because people know what it's being used for. Now, my recommendation on how to improve is to threaten the reporters' families if they ask Biden anything other than an easy yes or no question. Next area with room for improvement. Let's take a look.
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway, we're going to get a lot done.
Now, I like what you've done here. When his mind fails, like someone trying to walk up an icy hill, you've instructed him to try to find traction again by using the soundbite, we're going to get a lot done. It doesn't have anything to do with the four different incomplete thoughts that he was trying to breed together into a coherent sentence, but it does have a nice authoritative tone to it. But it's like that soundbite somehow just really lands the plane smoothly after it's already crashed. But a way you can make it come across even better when his mind cuts out is to tell him not to stop. Just keep going with the incoherence while you cue the DJ to bring in some beats. Now Biden's freestyling. It'll have people going from saying, "Biden has wicked dementia in his brain," to "Biden's freestyling with some wicked beats," and it'll be a great way to connect with young people, and it'll be a more believable cover-up. Let's take a look at a very complimentary question asked of Biden by a reporter.
The perception of you that got you elected as a moral, decent man is the reason why a lot of immigrants are coming to this country and entrusting you with unaccompanied minors.
Now here, I think you went a little overboard, guys. It's starting to sound like we're worshiping a dictator. Normally when presidents are facing heat, such as Biden is for the crisis he created at the border, they're asked tough questions. Not softball questions lobbed up, padded with compliments. People in the public with access to their own thinking might think it's just disingenuous propaganda. So with the reporters that you instruct Joe to call on with your notebook, maybe tell them they don't need the compliments and the questions. Everybody already thinks so highly of the guy as it is. Now let's take a look at where there's some room for improvement on how you handle Joe outside of the press conference. Let's start with the stairs. Now, as we see Joe doing some advanced level parkour here, he gets a little tripped up. Now, one improvement strategy is to tell Uncle Joe to pick up his feet as he's walking up steps. The upward trajectory of steps necessitate that that has to happen. And if he can remember it, it'll help out immensely. And then the other thing is the reason that you told the public as to why he fell. He fell up the steps three times. A note of improvement for next time. Don't lie about it. That way people just think he fell up the steps instead of thinking he fell up the steps and you lied about it. Now on to some policies. Currently, your position for Biden on the Uyghur genocide is this.
The idea I'm not going to speak out against what he's doing in Hong Kong, what he's doing with the Uyghurs in western mountains of China and Taiwan, trying to end the one China policy by making it forceful. I said, and by the way, he said he gets it. Culturally, there are different norms at each country, and their leaders are expected to follow.
Well, just to break it to you, the culture of good people doesn't approve of just accepting genocide as a way of being more inclusive to the culture of mass murderers. The public just seems really stubborn with their stance on this. Like, after all these years, they still don't respect the cultural differences of Hitler. So, a way you could improve is have Biden condemn genocide rather than condone it. Even if they're just empty words with no actions behind them. Even that'll go down better with a stubborn public who's just not as inclusive as Joe is, apparently. Now, with old Hunter, got your hands full there, don't you? Well, with his laptop and all the evidence that implicates Joe and Hunter's gun and potentially Joe's Secret Service cover-up detail, my advice? Keep pretending these issues don't exist. The American public doesn't remember any of this when you don't talk about it. Don't change a thing you're doing here. Now to close, a few other positives from the recent press conference. You kept him awake the whole time. He didn't say anything overtly racist. He didn't sniff a single child, and he didn't accept any money from China while on camera. Along with the constructive advice I've offered here, you've got a very strong foundation to build on. America is very optimistic about how you'll be running Biden for the next 4 years.
My plan is to run for re-election. That's my expectation.
Oh, yeah, 8 years. Of course, that's the expectation.
I don't know if you've realized this yet yourself. I have. In fact, I realized it a long time ago. The only true racism in the United States stems from blacks. Blacks hate whites. Blacks hate Asians. As a matter of fact, all of the so-called Asian hate that's going on, the attacks on Asians, it's all done by blacks. Whites are not doing any of it. It's all done by blacks. Blacks hate everybody, including each other. That's why the majority of blacks are killed by other blacks. So I have a category here, and I'm trying to figure out what to call it. For now, it's just simply going to be called commie racism. And here's a funny thing. These communists, even if they're white, they hate whites. A bunch of doctors in Boston. Now, half of them are white, half of them are black. The hospital they're at is called Brigham and Women's Hospital. And the idea here is that they're going to offer blacks and brown people health care before they do whites. And this is to correct the problem of systemic racism. You know, this make-believe myth that's been created by communists to destroy the United States. Systemic racism. They would just as soon have the whites die in a waiting room and take care of any blacks, even if you have a splinter and a white man has going into cardiac arrest. And this is not make-believe. You can go look at this yourself. You can go look at it yourself. Oregon is now coming forward as to prove that they are insane. Well, we already knew that. But they're claiming, especially the teachers. You know, you have this communist organization called the National Education Association, the NEA. All teachers belong to it. And concurrently, any teacher that belongs to the NEA is a communist and a Democrat voter. Oregon Department of Education has decided that math is racist because it requires a correct answer. Math is racist. If you require 2 + 2 = 4, you're a racist. You know why they're saying this? It's white people saying this. You know why? Because, and they're Democrats. These communists claim that blacks are too stupid to do mathematics. They're right there. They're saying this, that blacks can't do this. Blacks, Latinos, multilingual students, they can't do math. Only the whites can come out with 2 + 2 = 4. So we've got to change it because math is racist. That's intelligent, isn't it? United Airlines, the company that my father helped build, has decided that 50% of the next 5,000 pilots they train will be black women or people of color. Me? If I was running United Airlines, I would say 50% of the people I'm going to train as pilots had better know what the hell they're doing before I even hire them. What does that have to do? What is the color of the skin? See, this is, and it's only done by Democrats. Republicans don't do this. Democrats segregate, and they do it on purpose. Now, we got a governor in Utah. There is, you know how different organizations have money that they'll give to students so that they can go to different colleges, a scholarship fund or just funding, right? There is a fund that's only going to be for black people. And he's interviewed on the radio and said, I don't see a problem with that. You can't be racist to white. He's a white guy. Here's something that, you know, I don't like Target. I don't shop there. Target is anti-American. It's anti-white. It's anti-male. Now, they're selling a devotional prayer book at Target. Let me give you a little blurb I got off the internet on that prayer book. This is a prayer book.
This is the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. So there's this prayer book called A Rhythm of Prayer, and one of the prayers is by Dr. Chiniqua Walker Barnes. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, and I'll probably get canceled and called a racist, but anyways. She has a prayer of a weary black woman, and look what she says. Dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. My prayer is that you will help me to hate the other white people, you know, the nice ones, the Fox News-loving, Trump-supporting voters who don't see color. This one's the worst part. Lord, if it be your will, harden my heart. Stop me from striving to see the best in people. Stop me from being hopeful that white people can do and be better. Let me imagine them instead as white hooded robes standing in front of burning crosses. Let me see them as hopelessly unrepentant, reprobate bigots who have blasphemed the Holy Spirit and who need to be handed over to the evil one. Excuse me, what? Critical race theory is demonic.
So I'm sure you heard about what happened in Minneapolis, a suburb there, Brooklyn Center, where a 20-year-old black kid was shot and killed by a woman police officer. And I'm not saying right or wrong, yes or no, or any of this stuff. I'm just saying this is the reality of it. and he was doing something. He was doing something that I've talked to you about before. It's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. When I was in high school, there was this guy, and this was a dweeb. He wore glasses. He was a very intelligent guy, but he was always getting his butt kicked. He was always getting in a fight. And I talked to him one day. I said, "Why are you always getting your butt kicked?" He said, "Well, because everybody hates me." I'm like, "What do you mean everybody hates you?" He goes, "Don't be stupid. You know as well as I do, everybody hates me." And I'm thinking, you know, you talk like that to me, I'm going to hate you too. And basically what he was doing was that. He was being a smartass to everyone. He was being rude. He was being insensitive. He was being condescending. He was being an asshat to everyone. And then they'd get pissed and smack him. So this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So what's happening with the blacks now is that they are sure that they're going to get hurt by a cop. So they're going to fight the cop every way they can and disobey the cop. And then when they get hurt, they've just fulfilled their own prophecy. And it doesn't matter if you're black or white or green or red or whatever. But this phenomenon is occurring nationwide right now. Be that as it may. So this guy was killed. And the woman's going to be charged with manslaughter, the police officer. She swears that it was her taser she was reaching for. I don't see how you can get them confused. And if you can get them that confused, then either the outline of the taser needs to be changed or the handguns need to be changed, because that's stupid. But regardless of that, we have these communist Muslims in Congress. One of them is this black one, and she's a piece of crap, Rashida Tlaib. Tlaib, I don't give a rat's patootie if I pronounce that wrong. But she said, we now need to disband all police departments nationwide, disband all prisons, and have no more cops ever. This is what's running this country, right? And we're allowing it. So a student at this university, now I saw this, I knew this was going to happen. There's no question about it. As soon as I heard what he had said, he was at a class to learn about microaggressions. This is mandatory in a lot of these places, to learn about microaggressions. He was at the University of Virginia. And they were having this presentation, and he simply asked a question. And he said, is it a requirement to be a victim of microaggression that you are a member of a marginalized group? That's his question. And basically what they were saying was that only blacks can suffer from microaggressions. But he was asking that question. Not only did he get suspended, but they ordered a psychological evaluation of him just because he asked that question. Dimwit put this sexual pervert, Pete Buttigieg, I think that's how he pronounced his name, but he's the Secretary of Transportation, and he is a queer. Now, that's okay to use the word queer. Okay, because the sexual perverts have decided that word is okay to use now. Another year or so, they'll allow me to use the word fag for guys that are homosexual. I don't know, who knows? But right now, we're going to use the word queer, because he is. He's queer as a $3 bill. And he's warned that racism is physically built into the U.S. highway system. And I saw that and I go, wait, huh? Oh, here's how. Because it's built on a racist system, and it was meant to keep certain groups in and certain groups out. That's why the highways bypass certain cities, is because the whites that designed and built the highways hated blacks, Mexicans, Indians, avocados, I don't know. But this is what this POS actually thinks, and people listen to him. People are listening to him. This is the problem with Americans. They actually listen to these psychotics. All right. So, Georgia passed a voter ID law. Now, you know what? We're under the category commie racism. Okay, so Georgia passed a voter ID law. It's more than that, right? But it's very simple. And Major League Baseball, MLB, decided that to virtue signal, they're going to say, well, we're no longer going to be in Georgia. We're leaving Georgia. Of course, go try and pick up tickets for the baseball game, and you're going to have to show your ID. So the commissioner of the MLB come out and said, we're leaving because we're no longer going to be in a racist area of Jim Crow 2.0 and all of this crap. So they're out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they don't like the idea that Georgia actually did anything to help themselves. So Marco Rubio wrote a letter to the commissioner, and basically He asked him if he'll now sacrifice his Augusta golf membership in protest at Georgia's new election law. See, he's got a membership there. There was a meeting of over 100 corporate CEOs, and they showed up to determine how they can interact and control the people who are doing these nasty, evil things, like making the law for voting more effective. And I can tell you why they met and who funded this meeting. The Rothschild bankster family. The bankers are funding this. So these 100 corporate leaders, let me quote this, recognize that they need to step up to the plate and are not fearful of reprisals. They are not fearful of reprisals. Well, good. Then let's give them reprisals and see what happens. Now, I'll have the link. You can go look at all of these cheap POSs. Our resident comedian has a little thing to say about this Georgia voter ID law.
And yeah, over the Easter weekend, they kept people from going to church. It's great. You see, with communism, you have to disconnect people from God so they have no internal truth, and therefore they'll believe the lies they're told as if they're the truth. The plan is working so good. All right, let's get these things on, boys. Do this show. Georgia passes a voter ID law while Delta Airlines and Major League Baseball join Joe Biden in woke culture in an attempt to cancel Georgia because of it. We'll have the full report for you as we attempt to demoralize society. Georgia lawmakers passed the new voter ID law, claiming they want their elections to be safe and secure. The law requires that when someone goes to vote in Georgia, they must show their ID to confirm they are who they say they are. Little did Georgia lawmakers know that anything that upholds election integrity is racist. The left has accurately determined that all things they don't like are racist. Ironically, it appears as though racism is the one thing they do like. In an AP poll, 72% of Americans said they were in favor of voter ID, including the majority of Democrats, who were apparently accidentally thinking for themselves when polled. Furthermore, according to white people with corporate interests and white people in government positions who are addicted to power, showing one's ID is objectively racist. One of those white people is President Joe Biden. As Biden has recently claimed that not all Latinos and blacks know how to get online, he apparently assumes they also don't know how to get IDs. But he did help many blacks get into prison when he sponsored the crime bill. And when speaking out against the Georgia voting law, even the left-leaning Washington Post gave Biden 4 Pinocchios for blatantly lying about the law, which in our opinion is fine, because propaganda is more of an artistic expression. If one were to accidentally be thinking for themselves, they might say, the Georgia voting law? So does that require only black people to show their IDs? No, all races must show their IDs equally. And now we have woke evidence that racial equality is also racist, along with everything else. Veteran of the civil rights movement, Bob Woodson has said, do not use justice for blacks as an excuse to destroy this nation. Well, Bob Woodson was in a different type of civil rights movement, one crusading to give people rights, not one crusading to take away people's rights. But more trustworthy than a civil rights veteran, corporate America has gotten into the mix on the Georgia voting law, being fully committed to appearing as though they actually care about people. Delta Airlines CEO Ed Bastian said about the law, it is unacceptable and is based on a lie. That was after approximately 0 people asked him. Delta Airlines requires you to show them your ID each time you fly with them. And that is the same amount of alleged racism that the Georgia voting law carries. Except Delta requires you to show them your ID not just in Georgia, but all 50 states. Technically, that's 50 times more racist than what they're speaking out against. And the menacing plot of socialism thickens. Just days before, the Delta CEO was saying this about the Georgia voting law. The legislation signed this week improved considerably during the legislative process and expands weekend voting, codifies Sunday voting, and protects a voter's ability to cast an absentee ballot without providing a reason. That's the exact opposite stance of what he has now, just a couple days later. Well, as Ed has expressed strong opinions each way, it appears as though he doesn't have a backbone and is just trying to take the stance that will earn his corporation more money. Most people are intelligent enough that they appreciate the Delta CEO's double virtue signal in opposite directions, thinking he and his company actually cares about them. It's now thought that Delta will broaden its regulations in order to be more woke by accepting Antifa on flights as emotional support animals. Flights will likely be much safer with violent rioters who identify as peaceful support animals. Also with Delta, another new policy expected to be instated, where if you identify as a pilot, you're eligible to be hired. No pilot training or certification necessary, as that would be uninclusive and therefore unwise. The new policy is expected to go into place unless Delta hates people who aren't privileged enough to go to pilot school. Your move, Delta. As the Atlanta airport, the largest airport in the nation, is a major hub for Delta, Georgia lawmakers got the last laugh as they retaliated and eliminated the tax breaks they had previously been giving Delta. President Biden then took a break from falling up steps to call on Major League Baseball to move their All-Star game out of Atlanta as a way of boycotting Georgia. The next day, the baseball commissioner did just that. The pesky Epoch Times reported that the day before Major League Baseball joined the Georgia boycott, they extended a deal with a Chinese telecommunications company. China is where the Uyghur people are subjected to murder, torture, rape, forced sterilizations, and forced abortions. That's genocide. And Major League Baseball is not boycotting that. The MLB Corporation, they're good guys supporting good laws for the good of the people. It is a good idea to be influenced by them. One Georgia county estimates they'll lose $100 million because of the move of the All-Star game. But if Georgia would have just caved to cancel culture, instead of losing $100 million, they could have just lost all democracy. Biden has endorsed MLB's decision to protest the Georgia voting law, as he has called it Jim Crow on steroids. The steroids are the accurate part of that analogy, as they go very well with Major League Baseball's image. Here at the station, we think Major League Baseball should be the voice of reason to listen to when it comes to racial issues, because the corporation did not allow black people to play in their league until 1947. That's when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier of their policy. This just then, Joe Biden was born even before Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in 1947. He's not young. Joe Biden is a white guy who likes to tell people of color what is racist and what isn't. That whole scam kinda seems racist if you forget to not think about it for even just a second. This just then, Joe Biden also has major ties with China. Riding the wave of wokeness, speculators believe Major League Baseball will be announcing the following expansion teams into their league soon. The Portland Rioters, Seattle Socialists, the Colorado Communists, and the Chicago Sheep. So let's think about this in theory. If China wanted to interfere with our elections, the Georgia voting law would make it harder for them to do so. But Major League Baseball and Joe Biden, who are trying to make the route for them interfering easier, are in business with China, so they probably wouldn't have a vested interest in helping China. Plus, why would a communist party try to interfere with our elections? They seem like they're just good, honest people. Oh yeah, and I forgot to mention Delta Airlines also has ties with communist China. This is probably all just a big coincidence. Moving along, even Barack Obama took a break from controlling things behind the scenes to congratulate Major League Baseball for taking a stand against America and for Chinese communism. Major League Baseball, Delta Airlines, and President Biden are now all officially part of cancel culture, the part of our culture that uses intimidation and bullying to hurt other people for expressing their free will and not theirs. As President Biden joined the level-headed rage mob of cancel culture, calling for Georgia to be boycotted, he continued to do nothing about boycotting the Beijing Olympics, as once again, the Chinese Communist Party is committing genocide against the Uyghur people. This just in! Objectively speaking, the most racist thing you could possibly do is to kill and torture people because of their race. That's what the Chinese Communist Party is doing, and Biden's doing nothing about it. He's even supporting it. But luckily, Biden is working to save Americans of all races from the humiliation of having to show their ID when they go to vote, to prove they are who they say they are. At the heart of identity politics, it's actually very offensive to ask anyone to show proof of being who they say they are, because you can't prove it. I'm a snow leopard. How about that? I want you to acknowledge it. While Major League Baseball, Delta, and Biden are all in business bed with China, they should be commended with their decision to boycott Georgia. And when terrible people / free thinkers ask, should we boycott Major League Baseball, Delta, and Biden because they're in major business with communist China? The answer is no. Georgia provides their citizens with more secure elections. China only kills their citizens, which is okay, because it's been reported the Chinese Communist Party does not require their citizens to show an ID before they kill them. So I guess that's better. And that's our full report on the Georgia voter ID law. And I'd like to remind you, as you're burning your children's Dr. Seuss books, drinking your woke Coke, and watching your Bolshevik baseball in the film 1984 that we're in, that's all I can say for now, because the Thought Police are watching. Good night!
To top all of this commie racism category off, in the 117th Congress, first session, House Resolution 40. Ready for this? I got a copy of it right here. To address the fundamental injustices, cruelty, brutality, and inhumanity of slavery in the United States and the 13 American colonies between 1619 and 1865, and to establish a commission to study and consider a national apology and proposal for reparations for the institution of slavery, its subsequent de jure and de facto racial and economic discrimination against African Americans, and the impact of these forces on living African Americans, to make recommendations to the Congress on appropriate remedies and for other purposes. In the House of Representatives, and so then it lists all of every Democrat in there, is going forward with a study to perform reparations on the blacks in the United States. And I'm the first to say, anybody who I've ever held as a slave, I'll be more than happy to give you some kind of reparations. You just come forward and I'll be happy to do that. It's not a big deal. Now we're going into a category called government threat. You've all been seeing the gas prices go up. And you've all been looking at the government. Every single state has lost a lot of income because of they stupidly shut the businesses down. And they didn't get the taxes that they want. So they're going to figure out ways to get money from us. So this very arrogant communist, Democratic Rep. Emanuel Cleaver, he is a jackass from way back. He's decided that all Americans want a gas tax increase to help fund Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure bill. He did some kind of a poll somewhere that come out and said that the majority of Americans will be more than happy to pay more gas tax. As a matter of fact, in Washington State, just 15 miles west of me here, they've decided that they should do their fair share. So they want to raise the gas tax in the state of Washington. Right now, the state of Washington is paying the highest gas tax there is in the United States, and it's 57 cents a gallon. They want to raise it another 10 cents a gallon, or even 18 cents a gallon. It just depends on their mood. So they say they're going to raise it. They say they want to see what happens. Well, that when a communist says we want to figure out how we can raise taxes, that means they're already going to do it. Not a question. And the funny thing is this. The taxes that you pay on gasoline. First, there was one tax. Then they promised there wouldn't be another one. And then there was another tax, which taxed the first tax. So let's say that tax is 10 cents, the first tax. Second tax says, well, we're going to add another 1% tax to everything. So they're going to tax to 10 cents at 1%. And then another bill gets passed, says we're going to charge 40 cents a gallon. So that, I mean, it's just a domino effect. Every tax taxes the previous tax. I'm sure that's illegal somewhere. And this should be, but I don't know if it is or not. New York Senate just passed a bill, which is going to be signed by the governor if it hasn't been yet. It's a concentration camp. Basically, it's a bill to forcibly throw people into camps, just like Nazis did in World War II, and, well, we did in World War II, too. And this is this is if the pandemic gets any worse, anybody who even acts like they're sick is going to be thrown into a special camp to where they can be monitored. It's A416 relates to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to the public health. New York. New York's done this. When are we going to start the revolution? And to protect us all, the communists are putting forward another bill in the House. It's to ban gun silencers. Now, when I heard this, I heard him announce this on the floor. Here's the thing. He wants to ban gun silencers because people involved in mass shootings deserve to know from which direction the bullet comes. This guy's an idiot. No, it's anything. The communists are going after everything. You watch. They're going to want to ban holsters. They're going to want to ban triggers. I don't know. If you think that's bad, well, you already know what I feel about the politicians that Dimwit has put in charge of the Pentagon and the Army, Navy, Marines, the Air Force. They're all communists. They're all racist. They're all a joke. The Navy, you know, the logo for the Navy, which is the eagle looking to the right, they put a mask on it. They put a mask on their logo on their website. Well, here's something that's our enemies are going to love. There's an old adage about warfare. All wars are won on the ground. I don't care 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. All wars are won on the ground. So the Marine Corps has decided they're mothballing all of their tank battalions. I go, what? That's one of the most effective pieces of equipment any ground force can have. Oh, no. They're going all modern now. So they'll be using drones. They'll be using all kinds of other electronic gizmos instead of the tanks. And to announce this, to actually show this, military.com, and it tells the world, yeah, we're getting rid of our tanks. We're done. Well, I do have some good news. Trump is going to be opening his own social media site soon, and it should be within the next month or two. They're keeping it as quiet as possible. And he actually has a website. Trump has his own website, which you can go to. It's the office of Donald J. Trump. It says, the office, it says 45, the number 45office.com. Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States, and the last real president of the United States. So you can go to his website, look around, and just be aware that he's going to be opening up his own social media. I don't know what he's talking about that. What's he going to do? Is it going to be like Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or any of that crap? I don't know. We'll find out. All right, now we're going to talk about my least favorite subject, pain. That's the major limiter of humans. In fact, all animals is pain. You know, you can only lift so many pounds before it hurts. You can only walk so far before it hurts. So what I'm going to talk about now is mostly topical pain relief. This is the stuff you rub on. This is the stuff that you take a pill for. This kind of thing. And I'm going to do it as simple as possible. Let's say you got muscle cramps. We're going to talk basically about arthritis, muscle cramps, wounds, aches, the minor stuff. You know, you go grab something out of the medicine cabinet and you slobber it on your arm because your arm's sore. You got sore legs, you wipe this stuff on. You got a inflammation somewhere in your body that hurts. And that's, by the way, that's what pain is. Pain is inflammation. So you need to get your inflammation down if you want to get your pain down. There's ways to confuse your body and you don't get the inflammation down. You're just interrupting the transmission of the pain signals neurologically to your brain. Because that's what happens. You know, if you get hurt in your kneecap, what happens is there's signals, special signals that are transmitted from the knee to the brain to say that hurts. Okay? And it does two things. One, it'll let you know that that hurts. Because it's a survival trait to know what you just hurt. If you couldn't feel what hurt, then you might keep doing the same thing over and over again and hurting yourself. Well, it does another thing also. The area that you hurt, whether it's you stub a toe, smack your knee, fall on your butt, the neurological signals that are being sent to your brain are also dissipating the physical charge, the pain in that area. It's like a battery. It's fully charged when it's really hurting. So these signals dissipate that charge. It's draining that charge. And it takes some time, but it does that. It really does. So what we're going to be talking about are different ways to treat localized pain. There's different ways. There's heat packs. There's cold packs. You know, you can go get these things at Walmart or anywhere that you heat up and they stay hot for an hour. Or you get a heating pad and use that. And cold packs that do the same thing. Keep them in the freezer for when you need them. And there's also emergency cold packs. They're depending on the size, but they're usually about 6 inches by 4 inches. And you squeeze them and you manhandle them and a little thing inside snaps. And then all of a sudden they start getting ice cold. Okay. There's also TENS units, and these are the transdermal electric stimulation units. We used to sell these things years ago. They're a little tiny battery pack that has two leads coming out of it with self-adhesive pads. These are electrical conductive pads, and you put them on an area where you're having a pain, and you turn this electrical conducer, this thing on, and it shoots electric currents into that area. You can buy a TENS unit, T-E-N-S. You can buy those at Walmart. We used to sell them from anywhere from $50 to $100. Nowadays, you can get them from $10 to $40. And if you go on eBay, you can get them for $15, $20 delivered from China. And then there's vibrators. And there's different types of vibrators. And get your mind out of the gutter. The one I have is Genie Rub. That's what it is. It's a Genie Rub. It looks like a car polisher. It's two handles. It's rectangle. It has a pad that's about 6 inches by 10 inches, and then it has two handles above it, and it's got low and high speed. And you turn it on and you rub it over an area. I've had people with spasming backs lay on the stomach, and I use this vibrator on their back, and it totally reduces all their muscles. It just reduces the spasms and the swelling. So that's one kind of vibrator. You can get the smaller ones like that, and it literally shakes the area where the pain is. And if you have tight muscles, if that's the problem, if that's what's causing the pain, well, that'll loosen it up. There's also a new item out. Now, it's not that new. It's been around about 10 years. It's called a percussive gun. Some people call it a vibrator. It's not. It looks like a gun. And on the end of it, it has different attachments you put on, little soft balls or different attachments that go in and out. So it's in and out, like that. And it's a lot more effective on deeper tissue. So there's different ways, right? There's different ways that you can do alternative handling for pain other than a drug. All right, now that's just the mechanical aspect. Then we're going to get into the different types of things that you can take. One of them is capsaicin. Then these are classified as counter-irritants, salicylates. NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So I have some links here that I'm going to read, and it'll explain some of this stuff. Capsaicin is heat. It's hot pepper stuff. That's what's in pepper spray. Now, I'm going to read that. This is the description and brand names, and I get this from Mayo Clinic. And there's more than this. There are so many of these. Capsaicin is put into different creams, oils, liquids to make it hot. Arthrocare for women, Capsigel, Capsin, Double Cap, Icy Hot, Pain Ends, Ritapain, Sports Med, Therapatch Warm, Zostrix. There's all these different ones that have capsaicin in it. Capsaicin is used to help relieve a certain type of pain known as neuralgia. And this neuralgia is shooting or burning pain in the nerves in certain areas. It's also used to relieve minor pain associated with rheumatoid arthritis or muscle sprains and strains. Now, there's a product that had capsaicin in it that's no longer available, and it was the strongest. It's called Heat, H-E-A-T. I've got two bottles of it sitting on my desk, and they're probably worth about $1,000 each because they stopped making them because they're too effective and because they're dangerous, because they had so much capsaicin in it, and if you got it in your eye, you'd go blind. Neuralgia is a pain. It comes from the nerves near the surface of your skin. Okay? Now, what capsaicin does is, basically, it blocks the transmission of a pain-relaying substance called substance P, which it sends to the brain. It confuses the body. Some of these, their job is to confuse the skin. Now, topical, not as opposed to subcutaneous, below the skin. So topical's on top of the skin. So capsaicin confuses that local area. And by confusing it, see, it's used to the pain that it's feeling. And you all of a sudden, you hit it with heat, which is what capsaicin does. Well, it gets confused. So all of a sudden, you don't feel the pain anymore. You feel the heat. And there's a lot of different... there's a lot of different products in the market. There's more than I can even think of. I mean, there's thousands of them. And other companies are adding a little bit of capsaicin to their product just so they can say capsaicin as an ingredient. Like I have a product here. It's called Cobrazol. Now, it's a normal topical anti-pain product, but they added, there's a little capsaicin in it. There's some arnica in it. There's a bunch of herbal stuff in it. And they use the capsaicin to help open the pores up so that the actual active ingredient, which is three snake venoms, can go through your skin. So the capsaicin is also used to open the pores in the skin. When you get hot and sweat, your pores are opening up. So you want to get the pores open so that the actual product that's going to either heal you or handle the pain can enter your skin. So that's what capsaicin does. Now, you have products that are known as counter-irritants. And it's like camphor, eucalyptus oil, menthol. And they're found in eucalyptamint and icy hot and stuff like that. Now, the purpose of them is to create an inflammation on top of your tissue, on your skin, that relieves pain or inflammation deeper. So it doesn't penetrate. It creates a slight inflammation on the top of your skin that will relieve the inflammation below the skin. It's called a counter-irritant. And there's different ones than that. These are all topical things. Now you have salicylates. And a salicylate basically is a salt or ester of salicylic acid. The Indians used to use white willow bark. Literally, you would take the bark off of willow tree, and you turn the bark over, and inside it's white. It's almost like clay, and you would scrape it off, and you would take that mixture that you scraped off, and you would boil it. And there's more to it than that, okay? But then they would take that, and it would reduce fever, reduce inflammation. It helps the salicylates in plants, protects the plant against insect damage and disease. Aspirin come from this, okay? Salicylates are used as food preservatives and antiseptics and have bacteriostatic, fungicidal, and skin-peeling properties. They also have analgesic, pain-relieving, anti-inflammatory, and anti-pyretic, which is a temperature-lowering effect. And there's a big problem with these. It's gastrointestinal problem. There's a lot to these other than just aspirin. The problem with these items, like, okay, let me give you some list. Aspirin, Bayer aspirin, Bufferin, magnesium salicylate, that's Doane's pills, Aspergum. I used to use that when I was a child. Ecotrin. These are all breaking down to be aspirin. Alka-Seltzer Original had aspirin in it. The problem with aspirin, the problem with all of these salicylate drugs, is that, let's say you take an aspirin. For every aspirin you take, you're going to lose a teaspoon of blood in your stomach. My mother told me this when I was a child, and I thought she was just, it was an old wives' tale, but no, when I started studying in medical literature, I realized it's real. For every aspirin you take, you lose a teaspoon of blood in your stomach. That's why my mother, when she gave us children aspirin to lower our fevers, she would take a teaspoon of warm water, put an aspirin in it, and then crush it with another teaspoon until it was almost a paste, and then she'd put it under our tongue. This is in the 50s. My mother taught us this. But the reality is, it works. It helps. It's also used in acne medication. Now we get NSAIDs. NSAIDs are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Reduces pain, decreases fever, prevents blood clots, and in higher doses, it decreases inflammation. And NSAIDs have the same problem that aspirin has. It will cause blood loss in the stomach, and it could cause ulcers if you use too many of them. Here's the other bad thing about NSAIDs. The majority of them also cause more bleeding, can cause heart attacks, and cause kidney disease. That depends on how much you take. I've had people come in the store here and buy our CBD to handle pain. And we had one guy tell me he's taking four times a day, eight milligram pill ibuprofen. Or 800, I'm sorry, 800 milligram, four times a day, 800 milligrams of ibuprofen. And he had to stop it because his kidneys started to hurt. And he's afraid to go to the doctor. So that's it, he's not taking any more. So non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. There's many, many, many different types of them. Let's see, what do we got? We got Celebrex, Voltaren, ibuprofen, ketoprofen, naproxen sodium. Now, naproxen sodium is a little bit different than the rest of them, and that's what I take if I ever have to. And I usually just take one of them, and that's it. But the whole idea here is there are certain things that you can take internally to handle inflammation. And there are certain things you can put on your skin to handle inflammation. And there's certain things you can do on the skin to handle inflammation. But what we do here at Survival Enterprises and at my family, we use CBD oil. Like I hurt my knee, my left knee. I mean, I hurt it bad. And I'm not sure what's going on with it. The structure is fine, but there is possible tears in the meniscus behind it. So I'm going to get a MRI Monday. Meanwhile, I'm not even supposed to be able to walk, but I take our CBD. I'm taking quite a bit of it. I'm taking 25 milligrams about every 4 hours. But it's given me the ability to be mobile. I can walk around, do my stuff. I'm not sitting here whining like a redheaded stepchild. So I'm doing just fine. Well, kind of. I'm not going to run any marathons right now. Or even when I get cured, I'm not running no marathons. Let's put it that way. So there's different things that you can do. Mechanical things to handle the pain. And the mechanical things are heat packs, cold packs. These are the simplest things people know. Then you can get a little more complicated with the vibrators or with the percussive guns. And they call them percussive vibrators. They call them all kinds of things. Go on eBay and look them up and you'll see what I'm talking about. They go from about $70 to about $600, depending on what quality you want. And I can tell you this, once you start using it, you're going to use it a lot. So you might as well spend the money if you got the money to spend to get a good one. Now the topicals, you have to be careful what it is. It's some people also have allergic reactions to it. Some people can't use our cobrazole. Our cobrazole literally is a magical liquid. It's a roll-on, and it's on our website, se1.us, survivalenterprises.com. It's a roll-on. It's non-greasy. There's almost no smell to it whatsoever, and you simply just roll it on the area that hurts. This is what I do every night. Before I go to bed, I roll it on my knee, and I can sleep without waking up. So there's that. We also carry something called Unkers. And see, there's a whole different range of these topical painkillers. Unkers smells like Vicks Vapor Rub on heat, but it's all organic. It's used by the Amish. I had a green stick fracture in my little finger. Little tiny fracture, straight up and down. I'd had it for years. Didn't even know it until we moved up here, North Idaho, the first winter. Got so cold, my knuckle swelled up like a little tiny Aggie marble. And that freaked me out. I went to the doctor, and of course the doctor wants to give me a shot or cut it off or do something else. And I said, no. So I called up the people that make the Unkers, and I said, what else can you use this for besides what you claim on your website? And he explained it all to me. So I started putting Unkers on it. And in 3 days, the pain went away, period. And it's never been back, and that was over 10 years ago. So that stuff works. And we've had people use it. They have neck aches, they have migraines, and they put it on. It just depends if you want to smell like an old man. I mean, it's bright smell. Let's put it that way. And then there's also that emu stuff. Now, the emu gel, there's emu gel, and it comes right. They take an emu and they squeeze it and they get oil out of it, I guess. I don't know. But there's all kinds of different versions of it. It works on some people. On other people, it doesn't work. On us, on me, it doesn't work. On my wife, it works. So it's totally up to the individual genetics. And you have, there's other words, go walk through a store and look for topical analgesics or topical painkillers. You're going to see so many of them, it's ridiculous. They even have patches you can put on. And if it gets really bad, they have lidocaine, which is used as a numbing agent. And you get this little patch of lidocaine, and you put that on the area. But here's the thing that every doctor ignores. What's causing it? What's causing that pain? Every person that comes in this store and says, I got pain, and I want to get something to handle the pain. And there's one question, and they'll all tell you that I ask the same exact question. Why? What did you do? You fall off a roof, you get in a fight with a gorilla, you get hit by a car, you're a professional wrestler, why do you have those pains? Every single person I ask the same thing. And then we try and get it down to the cause of it. And if I can advise them where to go to handle it, I've got about a dozen different doctors and professionals card here to handle any problem that somebody has. You've got a pain in your foot, I got a podiatrist I'll send you to. You got a pain in your back, your neck, and in fact, pretty much anywhere. I got a chiropractor that specializes in handling that kind of pain. I'll send you to him. Some people, I won't take their money. I say, nothing I have here is going to help you. You're going to have to go to a specialist, and here's a guy. Otherwise, I'll point him to the CBD. Now, another thing, again, inflammation causes pain. You want to get the inflammation down. I had a sunburn on my head so bad that literally my head was starting to swell up. The skin was starting to swell up. So I used our colloidal silver gel, and I just started coating my head. Every 5 minutes, my wife would slather on a glob of it. And after about half an hour, the inflammation was gone. Not down, it was gone. And I never even had sunburn after that. It was gone. That was it. So you're going to find that there are many different things that you can do to handle topical pain, but you need to do any of them. Too many people just bitch and moan about their pain and do nothing about it. You can go to survivalenterprises.com, SE1.us, and you can poke around there. You can go to Walmart and look around. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you buy. But you got to get stuff and research what you're getting to the degree that you know you're not going to kill yourself. Remember what I said, aspirin, once in a while, that's fine. But realize that every single time you take it, you're losing a teaspoon of blood in your stomach. Ibuprofen, it is dangerous for long-term use. Never use a painkiller for long-term use because that violates the KISS formula, which is keep it simple, stupid. And simplicity means finding the cause and fixing the cause of that. It's like some guy gets shot in the arm and he comes to the doctor. The doctor goes, oh, let me take care of that, and puts a Band-Aid on. A sane person would go, let me pull that out. Let me stitch that up. Then I'll put a Band-Aid on. But they don't do that. And because of that, the American population has been trained to ignore that. Never mind the cause. Just handle the pain. Oh, it hurts, it hurts. I don't care what the cause is. I just want the pain gone. You have to pay attention to the cause. All right. That's all I'm going to do for today. You guys pay attention to what's going on. And as I've said before, this is a communist takeover by the American Communist Party. And they're backed by the Chinese Communist Party. Schumer's hitting the fan right now. And they're slowly turning the volume and the speed of the fan up. It's going to happen fast. All of this is happening fast. If you could see behind the scenes like I do, you would understand what I'm talking about. I have half a dozen briefings here from everyone from the CDC to there's so many different ones, and I'm not going to read any of them to you because they're too complicated and they're full of crap, just like most politicians. Anyway, this is the Armchair Survivalist signing off. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground, and pay attention, and I'll see you next time.